broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace Out Loud. Amid lies we seek truth. Amid truth we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, Shabbat Shalom and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless to Lottie Dottie and every other body. Tonight we bring you some scriptures and scuttlebutts here on Holistic Truth, part of a NatSurim network. It is Friday, October 6th, 2023, and we are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I am your host, Leander Grace. It is a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of the one thing, diligently contending for the faith, asking Holy Spirit to continue to guide our battle, knowing we're given only our daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness and our daily bread, going forward with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, knowing the battle is won, but we must show up. Holy Spirit continues to move across the face of the earth as this great awakening itself is accelerating. And I do believe Holy Spirit is pushing it just right along, and that's all right with me, because change is upon us, and change is upon us with every layer and dimension of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive, and on levels that we cannot yet imagine. Not all who are gifted are in and of the light. We're going to talk about that tonight. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's our main topic. We're going to talk about the declarations and the glory of God and listening and hearing and discernment and things of that nature. Remembering, of course, that not all who are gifted are in and of the light. And we're going to talk a little bit about that at the top of the thing. And we're going to talk about Balaam and Balak right off the bat. We don't have the scripture listed there, but we'll talk about that narratively. We have a list of other scriptures as well. So if you want to follow along in the book, feel free to grab your book, your holy scriptures, and go along, right along with us. So make no mistake, folks, and do not be deceived. We are at war. We know that. The spiritual battle has been picking up. We're given some celebratory wins, right, some milestones. It looks like there's a little bit of fussing going on. Let's not be fooled. We know the Holy Spirit is moving, and we know that the battle, right, the battle is won by God already, but we still have got to show up, and we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against human beings. We're fighting against the principalities and against the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, not the ones who rule the world, the ones who rule the darkness of this world. Very specific, Ephesians 6:12, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness that's made it in some of our higher places and our higher offices. And we know this to be true. So remember, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, Pod People, we love you too. Question everything, cultivating a Berean mind and a seeker's heart. And we do have a scripture, of course, for that. Acts 17:11 reminds us that these, who were these? Those are the Bereans. These Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and conjunction, hello, search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And I'll tell you, folks, tonight we're going to search the scriptures, and we're going to talk about discerning of spirits and discerning of the things that we hear, because we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. So, you know, people ask me, what is it like to hear, you know, from God? What's it like to hear? What's it like to hear and talk with Holy Spirit? What's it like? We're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to talk about my experience in that after we cover it with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit moving across the face of the earth. We're going to invite them into this conversation to guide it, because it seems to be a very touchy subject for those, for a lot of folks. You know, that there's some within the Protestant belief system that we're taught that there is no more prophecy, although all through the New Testament it says your daughters and your sons are going to prophesy. They say, yeah, but there is no more. Well, then how can God fulfill his prophecy if there is no more prophecy when he told us there's going to be prophecy? That's like a non sequitur. If God says that our sons and our daughters are going to prophesy and that our the old men will dream dreams and all of these things are going to happen, then why would they not be happening? That's a legitimate question. And if they are happening, why do we doubt them so? Let me get a drink. Research what you hear tonight so you can own your own experience. Remember, I got a mustard seed, not afraid to use it. We've got that faith. 2 Timothy 2:15 reminds us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Revelation 14:12 reminds us that here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. And I love that whole picture of what, you know, that's some hardcore faith. Jesus had some hardcore faith, and we're expected to obtain that hardcore faith, right? So that's why we diligently contend for the faith of Yeshua, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So here we go, guys. Let's talk about this, but first, let's put some prayer on it. Father, we come to you thanking you. I thank you for this broadcast. I thank you for the ability to be on air this evening. And I thank you for those who are listening in with us and who will listen on podcast later, Father. I lift them up in Jesus' name to be blessed by you, to hear with the ears that you have them to hear with, to hear the message that you have ready for them, and to be with my mouth, Father, as I speak in with scriptures and speak about the scriptures. Bless my mouth and bless my lips, and take my heart and make it one for you as we go through and rightly divide this word of truth. I lift this program up to you this evening, Father, knowing that you will bless it and make it be exactly as you need it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there we have that, guys. We got Holy Spirit in the house, ready to bring it with us. Okay, so let's first of all talk about this hearing from God. What does that mean? You know, and I always, my stalwart verse, my hang on it verse, the scripture I always go back to is Psalm 19. And Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, the dome, showeth his handiwork. So there's things in the dome that we need to pay attention to that move. But the heavens declare the glory of God. And in verse 2, Psalm 19, verse 2, it says, day unto day it uttereth speech, and night unto night it showeth knowledge. Right? So we're supposed to be able to hear it in the day from the sun and see it in the night from the dome, if I rightly divide that. And then in verse 3, it says, there is no speech nor language. Their voice is not heard. Now, there is an implication of a placement. It says where in the King James. It says where their voice is not heard. But if we go to the complete Jewish Bible, it does not have that inferred W-H-E-R-E placement. And it just infers the fact that the voice that is being uttered is not heard. Now, we already know that we can speak to each other. Right, there's intuition, there's telepathy, there's all of these things. Why would God not use the same? And it tells us in the scriptures, day unto day, it uttereth speech. But there's no words. It doesn't have words. We have to listen with our spiritual ears. And that's a discipline that comes simply from being quiet and listening. And there's a lot of other things too. That's not what this program is about. It's about explaining the context of spiritual gifts, especially when we're hearing from God, especially the gift that I have. And that is in some ways bridging a gap with Holy Spirit as my guide and intermediary, right? Jesus is always interceding for us. Holy Spirit is with us, guiding us. And the guardians are giving guidance as a school of thought. And right off the bat, let me let you know that the guardians trust Jesus just like we do. They put their faith in God, the one God, just like we do. So that's good to know. So they have more knowledge. They have more access to more knowledge. There's a lot of different ways that the information comes to me, depending on what's going on. But altogether, it's a different type of communication, and we'll explain that as we go farther along into the program. So Psalm 19, it tells us that God's talking to us. You know, and I'm always saying on the program, God's telling us the truth constantly, but we have to learn to hear. And we want so much to be able to hear from God, and we want so much to be able to find somebody who can bridge that gap and maybe perhaps actually have the ears to hear and can bring some of the vocals of God here. But it also, our hope and our naivete and our trusting leads us also into areas where we can be fooled. And God is also throughout the scriptures cautioning us to not be fooled by those who speak with spirits who sputter and stutter and mutter and murmur in the night. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to hit the scriptures with it. And the guardians say that it's time to really get down to brass tacks and teach this stuff. Remember, not all who are gifted are in and of the light. Now let's go ahead and talk about Numbers for in the book of Numbers for just a minute, when Moses and the children of Israel were crossing the desert, and Balak wanted Balaam, who was just, you know, a false god worshiper who had a gift. He was gifted, obviously he wasn't a false prophet. He was just a prophet for hire. He was a Balaam, and that's what the name had come to be, as a prophet for hire. And so as he goes to do the bidding of Balak, you know, this is the one where the donkey talks and saves his life by running him into the wall and says, "You beat me, but you don't even know what's in front of you. You're about to get killed by this angel of the Lord." And he says, "Remember, when you go and do this thing with Balaam here, Mr. Balak, dude, what you need to make sure that when you go talk to Balak, make sure that you don't say anything that I don't put in your mouth." Okay. So three times, you know, he got paid to curse the children of Israel, and three times what came out of his mouth was a blessing. So God can use anybody. And then he came out prophecy in favor of the children of Israel. And I think the one that really blew the gasket on Balak's brain was when he says, "I see him, but not near. He's coming, but far," right? He's here, but not now. "I see him, but not now. He's coming, but not near." And then there was the prophecy of Jesus, of Christ arriving, of the Savior. So, you know, the gift is there, whether it's used for God or whether it's used for the muttering, sputtering adversary. And the muttering, sputtering adversary will tell you 100 truths to get you to 1,000 truths just to get you to believe one lie. It's kind of like controlled opposition, right? The same groceries. Tell you all of this truth just to get you to believe one lie and stir you cold just a little bit. And that's why we find, let's go ahead and look in the book of Isaiah. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of Isaiah 8. And I think I have it bookmarked here. I do, in fact. Yay, came prepared. All right, so in Isaiah 8 and 19, the prophet says, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry," and then it gives the outcome of it, of those who don't speak in truth, but those who go to the spirits who, and these are evil spirits. They want your attention, right? And the wizards that cast sails and use the pharmakia and all of those other things. But overall, we know each other by our fruits. And we also know each other by our profession of faith. And you say, "Well, Leanna Grace, that the devil knows, also confesses Christ." But, well, that's not the same thing as a profession of faith. That's a statement of belief. And everybody can make a statement of belief, but that's not the same as a profession of faith. So let's go ahead and continue on into the scriptures and see what Micah has to say. And so let's go ahead and go into Micah chapter 3. the book of Micah, chapter 3. And then we're going to go ahead and go to, which one did I have it? Let's go ahead and go to 5. So Micah 3, verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace. And he that putteth not into their mouth, they even prepare war against him. Therefore," now this is Micah, "therefore night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. For truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? Can come upon us." This is what they were saying. "Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed under as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of the forest." And the reason this becomes a blessing is because it stopped all of this wickedness of speaking falsely in God's name, stopped it in its tracks, because everything had become corrupt. The heads thereof were judging for a reward, not unlike what we see on the world stage today, and the priests thereof were teaching for hire, not unlike we've seen on the world stage today with all the televangelists, give me more money, more money, more money, right? And no different than when it was in the dark ages when the popery first came up and said, you know, you need to go ahead and buy your relatives way out of heaven, right, with a little dispensation there. Kind of like a carbon tax on the soul, if you will. "And the prophets thereof divine for money." Well, there's prophets around now that divine for money for $35, for $175 an hour. I'll tell you exactly what somebody who's working for the Lord will tell you for free. That's what they do. They want to speak for God, whether God's speaking to them or not. And that's the audience that he's speaking about. Those are the individuals, the ones that say, oh, yeah, peace, everything's fine. God's with us. We have this sight. And he says, no, 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 no. They're not going to have a vision. I'm not going to give them my voice. I'm not going to tell them what I'm going to do. Because like in Amos 3:7, it says, surely God will do nothing that he doesn't first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. Does this stop doing anything? Nope. But he sure was putting all of his words on hold and making it so that they weren't going to be able to hear him for a little bit of time, kind of wear out their patience because they were misrepresenting God. And they were doing it for price. And kind of like getting out, what is it, the book of psychology today? You say, well, Leander Grace, don't you use a little bit of psychology? Absolutely, there's a little bit of psychology in the things that I do because the guardians help me remember the psychology that I've learned. So it's not that new thoughts come in. There's new teaching on the fly. When the listeners and the audience ask questions, I get to learn also along with you. But if the words don't, you know, discern on the program, and if what's coming out of my mouth isn't according to the law and the prophets, then there's no light in me. And with the guardians, what they send to me, if it's not according to the scriptures, I won't pass it on until I find it in the scriptures, and then they help me find it in the scriptures. And so it's a school of thought. It's not the same as Yahweh. It's not the same as Jesus. It's not the same as Holy Spirit. It is a school of thought, and they are all over these scriptures, and wanting us to dig deeper and deeper into it and have an understanding, because there are going to be those who will still come up with a false word, and our itchy ears, our tickly ears are going to want to hear what they have to say, whether it's good for us or not. So we need to be prepared with the Word of God, with the Word of truth, with the scriptures that we were provided with, so that we can, in fact, execute good discernment when we're listening to different folks that say, you know, prophet this and prophet that. There's a lot of prophets out on the stage. And God's put his words in their mouth, and I listen to them too. But we'll talk about the guardians on the other side of the break. Let's go ahead and take a look at Malachi and see what Malachi has to say in chapter 3. And that's Malachi. Let me go ahead and find my bookmark here. That's Malachi. Let's just start with 3:1. And in Malachi 3:1, this is speaking of John. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Jesus, in fact, confirms in Matthew that this is about John. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. See, Malachi is receiving the word, behold, he comes, says Yahweh of hosts. Yahweh of hosts, and that is a plural. Elohim is a plural. It's a plurality word. It means more than one. Kind of like we say both, or a corporate thought, a corporate school, a corporation. No, I don't like that. But it is definitely a school of thought, not unlike what we see here in the scriptures being reflected as Yahweh of hosts. So it says in Malachi 3, verse 2, it says, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi. Who? The sons of Levi. One more time. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And here's where we have it. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, right? Why are we not consumed? We're not finished. We're not over. We're not done. Because he promised. Change is not. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. See, he's saying, look, but if you return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And he's going to go in and talk then to the priests and those things and shake his finger at them like they needed him to do. Will a human defraud Elohim? And so every time we say the Lord said this and the Lord didn't say it, we're defrauding God. And we're providing a false witness against Holy Spirit. We're witnessing against Holy Spirit if Holy Spirit didn't say it. And that's why we must be very, very careful. We, as the ecclesia, must be very careful when we make these claims. I don't have doubt that those that are prophesying in his name are actually true. I'm just telling those who are new to this to understand that there's a level of discernment that we need to have. A level of discernment that we need to have, and that I keep scrupulous discernment as well on my channel. And then some of the words that I use to describe this whole exchange of information that goes on when I'm on air and I'm doing readings and I'm doing all of this stuff, understand every bit of this program, whether I am doing an empathic channel or holy, holistic truth, or whether I'm doing scriptures and scuttlebutts. The guardians are right here with me, guiding me through the program in Jesus' name. And I pray before the program, during the program, sometimes even after the program, because this is amazing stuff to me, to be able to have the honor to bring these scriptures and these teachings and these finer points of discernment to you all. So there you have that. I love you. And God said, if I know a thing and I don't teach a thing the way he taught me to teach a thing, then I'm going to be in big trouble. And I'd just rather not be in big trouble with God. It's just not something that I've ever decided I wanted to do. And so let's go ahead and go to Matthew 11:23 real quick and see what we've got here, because the Father put on my heart to go ahead. He said, put that in there. And I'm like, okay, but I didn't read it before we got on air. So I'm going to see what it is. Oh, yes. And let's see, Matthew 11:23. I'm not really sure where this is relevant. I can't really read it. Oh, here it is, yes. So, and at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, Father, and he's talking about all of the things that are going on, and he's reminding people, you know, that he came here, and it starts, well, Matthew 11 starts with the introduction is John, he was in prison, and that information came to Jesus, and then John, you know, sent a messenger, and he says, are you the one that we've been waiting for? Go ask him if he's the one we've been waiting for, right? And Jesus answered and said to him, go show John again those things which you hear and what you do see. And he says, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I shall send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And now back down in Matthew 11:11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So in this particular scripture and in other places, I also believe it's in Mark, he's letting his disciples know that the same spirit that was in Elias, is the same spirit that was in John the Baptist. Was John the Baptist the same person as Elias? Well, no, they have two separate names. They were born at two separate times and all of that. But the same spirit was within John. Now, when John died, does that mean that there's no more prophecy? Well, no, the prophets, the apostles prophesied all the time. The apostles had the gifts that Jesus gave them. They were bestowed upon them through the Holy Spirit. They had those gifts and those abilities. They could give prophecy, not for hire. So I'm not sure. And in Philippians and all through the New Testament scriptures, Paul's reminding us that, you know, prophecy is going to happen again. And so what I ask my listeners is, why wouldn't it happen? Why wouldn't God choose to speak to people who wanted to listen? Why wouldn't that happen again. If God said all through the scripture it's going to happen, I'm going to do it. Why do we not have that expectation? And I'll tell you why. Because the darkness has infiltrated and imitated and otherwise folded, spindled, and mutilated anything that represented or could be construed as Holy Spirit driven, and has turned it into something else on such a wide scale. And the adversary has infiltrated the Protestant church, all of the churches, all of them, right? Anywhere that the gospel is being preached correctly, that's where the adversary wants to go and cause problems. And eventually, through generations of, dare I say, apathy and ego division, we've got 40,000 different denominations. We're in a state of confusion, and now we need to learn discernment. Because God is speaking to his prophets. He is relaying information. He is sending out people who can speak with schools of thought to inform, to guide, to help understand the misperception that's going on and perhaps give a better perception that's more accurate, reflected of those things that truly are going on the world stage. There's a lot that's going on the world stage, some things that we can see, some things that we cannot see that are going on behind the scenes. And, of course, those things that are happening in the heavenly realm, those things that are unseen, those things that are happening in the spirit realm. Now, there hasn't been a whole lot of shaking and baking going on with the Schumann frequency as of late. That may change. Understand that the sign of the Father is a movement and a rest, and there is a lot of movement that goes on, and then our bodies require rest. Why is that? Well, we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We'll talk about some of the awakening symptoms along with these scriptures and scuttlebutts. We're going to talk about the knowing portion of things and the hearing portion and what that's like and the seeing portion of the gift, and what it's like to be in the conference call with a school of thought. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it gets on my nerves. Yeah, I'm real honest about it. It is exactly what it is, and we willed it the way I willed it, the way I willed it, and you know, we work together the way we work together, and the we is inclusive. Of course, I am your host, Leander Grace. We're bringing it to you live from the high mountain desert. This is Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. And then we're going to hear a little bit from Point of Grace. The name of the song is The Great Divide. We'll be back on the, it's a little bit of a length, but we'll be back on the other side. rise, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh no, our silence won't protect us. I'm back here on the air live from the high mountain desert, and we're bringing scriptures and scuttlebutts to you loud. Hopefully, as I just kind of go down in volume a little bit, yeah, we're going to bring it to you out loud. We're talking about hearing. We're talking about the heavens declare the glory of God. We're talking about hearing God. If we want to, through Holy Spirit, of course, there's several layers. We'll talk about the guardians here in a minute. They, you know, it's not the same as talking to God. It sounds different. It sounds different when Holy Spirit is moving. It sounds different when all of these different layers. But understand that the conversation that I'm having with the guardians is a multidimensional conversation. Some of them may even be living, breathing humans, even as we speak, just saying could be. But they are guardians of that which has been established in the scriptures as truth. They are guardians of this channel of information. That means the frequency with which I can receive information, data, however it is they choose to communicate. And they protect that channel from intruder alerts. And so there are those who have the gift who would very much like to intrude and like to force their, it's a spiritual war, guys, I'm telling you, with this gift it becomes a spiritual war where those who know whether I'm actively seeking information, where they would love to go ahead and intrude into that and put a wayward thought. And this is where we need to use discernment. Understand, Holy Spirit is not an accuser. Holy Spirit is not an accuser. Holy Spirit convicts us. We already know the accusation. Holy Spirit moves us. Holy Spirit moves our energy and our soul and our spirit. We know when Holy Spirit is moving us. And we know when we say, yeah, you know, I was talking to God and I was praying to God, and we really know that this is what God wants us to do. And we have these levels of convictions of information of what it is that God wants us to do. My gift is no different. The gift that I have is no different. Now, when I say that, when I'm speaking to the guardian realm, that is an intermediary. Understand that there is a school of thought that is assisting us during this great awakening so that we get the information correct. That's how that works for me. And when we are doing, well, how do the readings work? How does that, you know, people always ask, how does that work? And so I ask them, how does that work? They see farther than we do. They have access to the data, and their ability to transmit it, my ability to receive it correctly, plays a part. So it's a good match. The way they talk is the way I can hear. Now, when they're talking to a little bit higher authority, the whole vibration changes. That's a different terrible thing that goes on, and it is awesome. And I don't speak about it much because it can be subjective. And this is why, you know, I've had people say, Leanna Grace, how can I do what you do? And my answer is, I don't know. I don't know how it is that you could do what it is that I could do. But I do know that if you pray and ask God and Jesus to help you, if you ask God to help, he will. God will help. If you ask to be guided by Holy Spirit, you'll be guided by Holy Spirit. But one of the first disciplines that may be required is discipline itself. Because when you make an appointment with God, it's kind of important that you keep it. And when I make an appointment with the guardians, it's kind of important that I keep it, because they have other things to do. Besides, well, not actually, it's kind of an all-day conversation if you want to know the truth. So, yeah, I talk to the guardians all day long, talk to God, talk to Holy Spirit all day long out loud if I want to. And then sometimes I don't want to. And then sometimes there's a thought intruder. Now, this is how I know a thought intruder. And a thought intruder comes with an accusation that wants to remind me of something that Jesus already forgave me for. A thought intruder is someone that wants to impose their negativity into the thought stream. And I'm talking about just the way that it is, into the thought stream, to put me, Leanna Grace, on a defensive posture so that I cannot be open enough to hear what's coming in through the guardians and through Holy Spirit. So that's the kind of the battle that I go through from time to time. And every once in a while, the shadow wins and I have to go back to school with God. And I'm like, Father, how did this happen? Well, where'd you step in it, Leanna Grace? Well, this is where I did. Now, it's not wickedness. I'm not getting in the middle of evilness. I'm not getting in the middle of wickedness. But I did let a thought intrusion set me off the path. And it you know, that's something that I have to recover from time to time, and it takes a little bit of energy to do so. Now, I like it. I use the term very often on the program that we're given only our daily bread, and our everything is based upon our spiritual fitness. And my gift also is based upon my ability to be effective with my gift is based upon my spiritual fitness, my relationship with the Father through Christ. And everything about my gift, it hangs in the balance, and it's all about my relationship with the Father in Christ, just as everybody else's gift that has a spiritual gift is based on their relationship with the Father through Christ. And each of us is given the gift that we can best wield. And this is the way that is. And it's not, doesn't always appear as the way we expect it to. And not all of us are going to necessarily appreciate the gift of the other one. But Paul said, don't talk ugly about each other. And don't start comparing each other's gifts as if one is better than the other, because it's not. We all are needed in the body of Christ to do those things that it is that we do. And so it is an honor for me to be able to help others through some of the traumas and through some of the traumatic thinking and through some of the perceived roadblocks and some of the actual roadblocks. It's an honor to be able to do that. And I think more people are able to speak to God, to actually have these conversations with God, than will even come forward and say, yeah, I talked to God. Because once you stand up and say, yeah, I talk to God every day, people are like, yeah, I bet you do. And immediately the adversary will try to attack and show you through stumbling blocks, through tripping you up, through a conversational encroachment, anything that it can to show you, to prove to you that you're not talking to God, that you're no better than anybody else. And the fact of the matter is, you're not any better than anybody else. Nobody with these spiritual gifts is any better than anybody else. We just have a bit of a responsibility to wield them responsibly. But the adversary will try to trip you up. The adversary will try to, especially now, the battle is fierce in the heavens. The battle is fierce on the spiritual plane. Wickedness is going down. And the minions that have surrounded the wickedness for a very long time are finding out that they don't have any backup. Their backup is gone. The rituals don't work. Their blood that they use is not available as they need it to be. And they're a dying breed, so to speak, those that would be wicked in the midst of us and teach our children and everyone else a wickedness, those who are among us that are not human. And we know these things. And if we know these things, that there are those among us who are not human and we don't find it odd anymore, why is it that we find it odd that there are those among us who can actually speak through the dimensions and communicate cross-dimensionally, telepathically and otherwise? So that's kind of bringing it to you in that regard. Now, what is it like for me? Well, it's like a conference call. And it's not always the same attendance in the call. There are a few personalities that I feel that are very consistent in this communication mode, and they stay close and keep me company. And it sounds very odd to hear, and sometimes it even sounds odd for me to say, but that's the truth of it. So that I do have someone to speak with about spiritual matters. Then in the middle of the night, when I'm reading the scriptures in the middle of the night, if my circadian rhythm gets off and I'm studying, then there is a guardian there spiritually to help me to seek out and connect some of the dots that I was looking to connect because Holy Spirit made me curious enough to look. And that's kind of how it is with my gift, is being guided through the scriptures and have conversations with the guardians. And then, of course, when I pray, do I pray to guardians? No. No. They don't want to be worshipped. They don't want to be prayed to. They worship God, and they pray to God. And then that's what we always say on the program, you know, worship God, pray to God, give the worries and the cares to the one who has that power, and that's through Christ. And those, that gospel doesn't change. Just because I have an odd little ability to communicate in on multidimensional levels is basically what it is. And I was as much surprised when it began as anyone else. And I have a complete anthology and a history that we'll probably be putting together in the future for those who are curious, but that's far into the future because I'm just not curious enough to put it together. So that's kind of how the gift works. And because I can only think as much as I can think, and I can only ask as many questions as my mind can generate before I have to rest, that's why it's wonderful for me when people get on air to speak and to discuss and to share and to ask questions, because then we all get to learn together as well. And so that, what is the payoff? The payoff is God wins. And God said, would you do this? And I said, yes, Father, I'll do it. I will do this job. Thank you for asking and thinking that I could do it. And that's basically how this relationship began with the guardians, is they got my attention. A couple of other things occurred that it's really difficult to explain. And then the first thing they did was take me to the scriptures and show me what I had right and show me some of the things I had wrong and then show me the differences in different things. And then multidimensional, I'm putting some of those bookworks together because those are interesting to go back and look through. Of the way that we see things and the way that they're written and the way that we were taught. And that there's three different ways. So I am your host, Leanna Grace, and this is what we do. And the we is inclusive. I am your host. And we is inclusive, and they are not me, and I am not them. But when we are in a conference call, the we is inclusive. And just as anybody else is speaking in the background, right, when you're relaying messages, and you're the one that's bringing the information to the fore, to the whoever, and people in the background are giving you the cards and giving you the notes and giving you the information, that's kind of how this works. And every once in a while, it's way too much information for me to take in at once, and I have to take a rest. And is that scriptural that occurs? Well, absolutely. Even Daniel, when he got great big visions, it made him sick. And so those who are doing this work and working with the energies, the Reiki masters that are still out there, securing the frequencies. Why? Because God is a God of light. God's a God of energy and frequency and light. It says all through the scriptures, every good and perfect gift comes down from where? The Father. The Father of what? The Father of lights. And it's a plurality. It's a plural. The Father, we're little lights. We're souls, are we not? Are we? The breath of life is a light. These are some of the things that we dive into. These are some of the things that the guardians have me studying and delving into, because they are a school of thought, and they want to teach, and I want to learn, and I want to teach, and hopefully those who are listening to the broadcast want to learn. And that's kind of how this works. So we'll just keep doing what it is that the Father has us to do and keep bringing what it is the Father has us to bring until he no longer needs my working here on air. And I hope it's not anytime soon, because I absolutely love what I do. Let's remember also in Colossians 1:13-14, he already told us, you know, in Matthew, Jesus told us many, many times, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Colossians 1:13-14, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Leanna Grace, this is a past tense verse, Colossians 1:13-14. He has rescued us, past tense, from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness and the forgiveness of sins. So the rescuing has already occurred. The kingdom of heaven is already at hand. He brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Now, the author of Colossians, Paul, does this mean that they were living in the kingdom of the Son? Yes. Yes. We have already been rescued from the darkness. We'll continue this next Friday. We'll not even continue it on Monday. We'll see how the Father moves. But we have been rescued from the dominion and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now let's think for just a second about this past tense issue. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Now, how did that happen? If we're still living on earth, how can we be rescued from the dominion of darkness? Because there's no control over us anymore. Not unlike a sick, active alcoholic or an addict who is without choice and is within the dominion and under the control of the dominion of darkness. That's what addiction is a lack of choice, and a lack of choice is a dominion of darkness. But he rescued us from that dominion of darkness. Now we have a choice. We have a choice. If we follow Jesus, we become rescued from the dominion of darkness. God starts fighting for us again. Holy Spirit will go to battle. He'll send angels for us. Do we order the angels? No, we don't tell the angels what to do. We ask God, and he decides what to do. He decides whether to send angels. He decides how many troops. But he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now, how did that happen? How do we come into the kingdom of the Son he loves? How does that work? You say, well, Leanna Grace, we're all going to go live in the kingdom. Well, yeah. But how did that work? How did he just bring us into the kingdom of the Son he loves? Did he zap us and we get beamed up, Scotty, and get, no, that's not what this says. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, and we're also taught that the kingdom of God is within, and we're also told the hope of glory is Christ within us. So in this regard, when we invite Christ into our life and have Holy Spirit as our guide, then we become filled with light. The dominion has, darkness has no more dominion over us. It becomes a choice. We're no longer on autopilot into the darkness to survive whatever. Now, at this point also is where the healing begins. Because just because we stepped out of the dominion of darkness and we came into the kingdom of the Son he loves, and we have options now, and we have light, and we have the ability to grow and become not just part of salvation, but also become part with sanctification, which we know is not a one-day event. It is a process, sanctification. This is where the other healing arts come in. This is where the physical healing comes in. This is where the emotional healing portions of the program with the guardians come in. This is where we work best, they say. This is where we work best. The we is inclusive. This is where we want to do the most good. The we is inclusive. This is where I want to work, and they help me get the job done. That in-between place during this salvation and the sanctification, there's still a whole lot of healing to be done. Now, I know back in the old days, in the 60s and the 70s, there wasn't any need for no psychological, none of that mumbo-jumbo stuff. And to a degree, that was right, because we weren't hurting each other as deeply as we are hurting each other now. We didn't have our wounds as deeply as we had now. We had more guts. We had more grit. We weren't as frilly-frilly, and we didn't cry as much because we weren't beaten up as much emotionally and told that we weren't good enough by the TV and everybody else. So no wonder we need a little bit more bandaging. We need a little bit more balm on the wounds. We need a little bit more balm from Gilead, do we not? We need a little bit more because we're beat up a little bit more. And the Father knew exactly the shape that we would be in today on this cusp. He knew the healing that we would need. And that's why he sent healers out throughout the whole world that's got the gift, not just me. He knew that we would need to know ahead of time because we would be so fearful and unsure of ourselves because all of the darkness that's been teaching us, all the darkness, that we would need prophets of light to come and remind us. God said, be strong. He's not going to leave us. God said, he's going to help us. God said, God said, God said. And we need to hear that over and over and over again because we have forgotten what God said. And so those who can hear, do hear. And those who can speak, do speak. And those who can teach, should teach. Don't be afraid. God gave you lessons. Do these things. I am your host, Leander Grace. It is an honor and a privilege to bring you the broadcast this evening, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And he's already brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. I am your host, Leander Grace. I hope you found value in tonight's broadcast. It is my intention to be with you again on Monday for Empathic Channel. Feel free to bring your questions, your comments, call in, sit in, join in, all of that. And we will continue to do those things the Father has called me to do. We will continue to do those things that the Father has called me to do on your behalf and for you, for your edification and otherwise affirmation that God loves you, he sees you, and he wants us healed. I am your host, Leander Grace, reminding you to, as always, to watch for the signposts. Connect these dots. Find your path. Live in love. And do something good as we learn to forgive. And until next time, good night.